A man by the name of Chiun Sugihara was a Japanese citizen. He was born January 1st, 1900. And his dream as growing up was always to be a diplomat. He wanted to work as a representative of his country of Japan, especially in Russia. But eventually, not making it to Russia, he was appointed the ambassador to Lithuania. And this was at the beginning of the Second World War. And one day, Lithuania began to be flooded with a lot of Jewish refugees who were fleeing Eastern Europe, who were fleeing Poland because of the German occupation and the concentration camps in order for their lives to be spared. And many of them were asking for visas. And this man, Chiun, began to write out hand form all these visas. He spent a whole month in the 1940s producing, putting out a lot of visas, about a month's worth every day. He had asked the Japanese government, the consulate, prior to that, if he could do that, and they said no. Because anybody who wants a visa has to have a destination country. You just can't write visas. But he decided, despite the fact he was refused permission to do that, to write the visas anyways. And it was credit to him to having saved over 6,000 Jewish lives during that time of World War II. Even as he was summoned to Berlin, he would continue writing the visas, passing them out the train window as he rode away from the train station. Much of his country really didn't know about him. But at the end of his life, at his funeral, they finally discovered what he had done for the Jewish people, because many heads of state and nations, especially the Prime Minister of Israel, came to pay their respects to this great man who, a devout Christian, had saved so many lives. But Chiun was willing to risk everything, his life, his freedom, his family, his honor, his reputation, his work, his job, everything, to do what was right in the eyes of God. And that's what we're really getting at in the gospel this morning as we hear Jesus continue to speak about discipleship, about following him. And he uses very charged language, which may be jarring to the ears. He says, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, if you don't hate your own life, then don't follow me. If you don't carry your own cross, don't follow me. If you don't renounce all your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. What is Jesus getting at? He is not obviously asking us to, with that emotion of hate, to hate others or our relations or our own lives, because what he has created is good. But what he is reminding us is that if we seek to follow him authentically, he must come first, right? We must love God before all other people, even those closest to us. We won't be able to love others truly or authentically unless we love them in the Lord first and foremost, unless God is our first love. Only then we'll be able to love others as he calls us to love them. Same with possessions or anything in our lives. If God doesn't come first, then there's that disordered use of everything, spending it on ourselves rather than using it or offering it or loving those things that are a part of our lives for the Lord's sake. It's not always easy, as Jesus is really getting at in the gospel, to follow him. Not always easy to be his disciple. But by his grace, we can do it. We can choose the good. We can dare to be holy. We can dare to put him first and before all things in our lives. First reading, we hear from wisdom. And the whole book of wisdom is from Solomon. And Solomon, who realizing, like a man like any other, sees the futility of human understanding or human wisdom or worldly wisdom, that you can't solve life's greatest problems with the wisdom of the world. And so the Book of Wisdom is Solomon's prayer that God grant him wisdom, grant him himself. Solomon is asking the Lord, Lord, rather than the world rule over me, you rule over me. You, Lord, be the master of my life, because it is only by your wisdom, by your ways, by your commandments, by your will, that then my life will be fulfilled. And in praying for wisdom rather than long life or earthly riches or honor or material possessions, Solomon prayed that God would be his ruler, his master. That's what enabled him to build the temple as his father David had commissioned him. That's what enabled Solomon to follow in his father David's footsteps in ruling the people of Israel as a just ruler, because he desired God first and foremost in his life. So the gospel, the readings of the scriptures this day invite us to ponder that question. Lord, is there anything between myself and you that prevents me from following you fully? Is there anything that inhibits my discipleship? Lord, with your grace, I want to lay that aside or second place so that you become my master. Your will becomes my way of life. Your commands become my plan for salvation, for eternal life. That the Lord invites us to place everything else behind him. That's what he's getting at when he says to hate, if you will, that everything must come after the Lord himself. Today the church rejoices as she canonizes Saint Carlo Acutis, whom I've spoken of before, and blessed are now Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati. Both of them lived 66 years apart, both young saints who spent the whole of their lives for Jesus. Frassati lived, he would have been a contemporary of Chayun Sugihara, and living in the early 1900s, coming from a wealthy family, his parents didn't practice their faith, he fell in love with the Christ and began to follow him ardently, grew in a great love for the Eucharist, grew in a great love for Our Lady, that his faith meant everything to him, so much so that he began to serve the poor. Him and his fellow young people that he hung out with would serve the poor secretly. His parents really had no idea what he was doing. He was overcome by polio in his late 20s, which took his life. And on the day that he was dying, he had a prescription that he was going to bring to this sick man who he'd been visiting. So he told his friend to take it in his stead. On the day of his funeral, when Frassati's body was brought to the church in Turin, Italy, the streets were lined with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of poor people, of the sick whom he had ministered to secretly all these years. And his parents finally realized this young man who had given his whole life to the Lord. Carlo Acutis, in the same way, his parents didn't practice their faith, but as a young boy, having received Holy Communion, wanted to go to Mass often. His faith meant everything to him. The Eucharist, he would often say, is the highway to heaven. Jesus is my all. And with that perspective, led his mom back to the practice of her faith. He's the one who collected all the stories of the Eucharistic miracles throughout history. So, and as I said before, if you Google Carlo Acutis, the Eucharistic miracles, you'll come across his website. He used his own love of programming computers to collect all the miracles of our Lord's Eucharistic presence over the centuries in order to help people to fall in love with Jesus more deeply. We're blessed to have two young holy saints, guiding lights, who sacrificed everything to follow Jesus. They're what the Lord is saying in the gospel. Not that they didn't love their families or what they did, but that God had to come first. Frassati once would say, we must sacrifice everything for everything, our ambitions, indeed our entire selves, for the cause of the Lord, for the cause of our faith. For to live without faith, to live without a patrimony to defend, without a steady struggle for truth, that is not living, but existing. We should never just exist, but we must live. What he's saying is there is that the Lord wants us to be alive. He wants us to be saints for him, not just existing as Christians in the world, but truly alive, living for the Lord.